Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, how's it going? What's going on?
Doing well, guys. How you doing?
We're great. Hope you've had good. A great summer. Appreciate you taking time to join us today. So Charles, we got a lot to talk about. I'll start with this. There's been so much movement, so much activity this offseason in the NFL. What are maybe one or two teams that intrigue you the most heading into this season based on everything that's happened this offseason?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm out with the Raiders, and you know, this is a pretty good team. It's going to be interesting to see how the coaching staff affects them. There's, you know, AFC West is completely loaded, and yet there are expectations here. You know, going out and acquiring Davante Adams, bringing in Chandler Jones. You know, they trade for Rock Ya-Sin, who I think has a chance to be a pretty good addition, with sort of a second, you know, a fresh start, I guess you would say. And then, you know, just the coaching staff that was so difficult, you know, such a disaster last year with the John Gruden mess and Henry Ruggs, and in a way it was funny. Hunter Renfro yesterday was talking about when they were on Hard Knocks, and that was a couple of years ago. Feels like, you know, a decade considering what's happened pretty much since, you know, the Antonio Brown meltdown. And, you know, the problem that they have is they're in an AFC West that's going to be an absolute, you know, brutal gauntlet of a division. And, you know, there could be any one of those teams could make the playoffs. I mean, you could see a couple miss the playoffs, but everybody has a massive amount of expectation on them in the AFC West. But it's, you know, Derek Carr with the pickup of Davante Adams, you know, Darren Waller, Renfro, he's got an opportunity to have a, you know, put up kind of video game numbers if Josh McDaniels can get the offense where he wants it. So I'd say that's one. And, you know, it's probably not the sexiest thing to say, but honestly, I'm curious to see what happens with Jacksonville, because the roster is better than people think. Yes, they did overpay for certain pieces there, but they attacked the offseason trying to make the situation better for Trevor Lawrence. And I'm just completely curious to know, what is that going to look like without Urban Meyer there? Like, did we put too much stock in Urban Meyer being the fundamental problem that essentially just ruined everything for the Jacksonville Jaguars? But, you know, Travis Etienne coming back after not playing last season, Christian Kirk, even though he is overpaid, that's exactly what they needed. They needed a deep speed receiver there. They went and addressed the offensive line. Trayvon Walker is another guy that, you know, you pick with the first pick in the draft. People are very curious to see whether or not what went into that pick over Aiden Hutchinson is actually what's going to showcase on the field. So that's another one. I could go well beyond two. I mean, it's, you know how it is at this time of the year. Everybody's very curious about almost every single team.
Oh, yeah.
So you're talking to us 6:04 a.m. where you are. You must really love us, man. Or is this like, it's like straight from the like casino to buffet to interview. Like, what are we talking here?
No, this has turned into a like. So basically, when you meet, I don't know. I guess it's new to me. There's no more like, oh, hey, we'll catch coach or GM or whatever after practice. Or now they all want to meet at the facility at, you know, 6 a.m. or 6. You know, 6:30 in the morning. Hey, I get in at 6:30. So, you know, if we're gonna catch up, let's try to do it, you know, as soon as, so this isn't even, I've already been told by the Rams, you know, I made a couple of requests there, and they're like, hey, can you get in the facility by 6 o'clock? And I was like, oh yeah, you know, it was like after practice, like, no, 6 in the morning. So yeah, these guys are, everybody's in the facility now at, you know, the cars are pulling in at 5:30. So no, I'm up. I've been up. And not only that, I mean, I live in Houston, so it's actually after 8 o'clock for me.
Yes. You got to stay on that central time, baby. Who's going to want Jimmy G? Where the heck is he going to end up, Charles?
I don't think – I mean, there's just not a market for him right now. There hasn't been a market. In the offseason, there was no market. It's just like Baker Mayfield, very similar situation. He had a one-team market, and Jimmy G, I think, has, you know, I don't – maybe Seattle is inside the division. I mean, like, I don't – the quarterback need right now for a player of his caliber who's coming off of surgery, is just not really immense. I think the 49ers are in a similar situation as Cleveland, that they have to wait until either a team assesses a greater need than they anticipated, or there's some kind of an injury there that opens up an opportunity to deal him. And part of this is the money too, because it's just, you know, you take a guy with 20 plus million in salary, he's not going to make that. And, you know, so there has to be some kind of a contract, you know, alteration there. Baker Mayfield was willing to do it. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have to do it. And I, you know, the way it is now, only the Browns really could fit him, you know, under the cap. And the Browns just are not interested whatsoever if it costs anything. And, you know, that might change given the Deshaun Watson decision and where that maybe takes the team. But I think their thought process is, we're going to roll with Jacoby Brissett unless we think there's no shot Deshaun Watson gets on the field in 2022. So that puts the 49ers in a situation where, you know, I think if Jimmy Garoppolo, his probably best path is to stare at the 49ers and say, I'm not taking a salary cut, just cut me and let me do a free agency on my own, and I can figure out a situation, because no one's paying him that, you know, salary anyway. And I think, you know, he would probably rather try to find the right destination, or at some point maybe the right backup spot that could give him an opportunity to start at some point during the season.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So Charles, you bring up the Deshaun Watson situation. Where are we on that front? And I guess, when would you expect or think, I guess is probably the better word, that a decision could be coming from Sue L. Robinson?
Yeah, I think it's hope. You know, that's the, it was interesting. I was talking to some guys yesterday, and I just said, when this all started, I kept using the term expect. The league expects, you know, Deshaun Watson's camp expects, the union expects. And then after the hearing with Sue L. Robinson, when you would talk to these parties, I was like, I better change that word to hope, because it's clear they have zero clue when this is actually going to happen. And, you know, only a week out from that, and actually really after briefs were filed, that's when everyone's kind of like, hey, this might be a while. Like, it's, you know, this is looking like it could be something that may not come in before training camp starts. It absolutely could overlap with a few days, you know, into training camp or longer. We don't know. She's on her clock. She's not on ours. And that's been, you know, abundantly clear to everybody involved. So in terms of the timeline, I would just say anyone who is pegging a date, it's some hopeful party. And I would say they are all hopeful that it comes in before they walk into training camp. I just don't know that Sue Robinson really cares about that timeline, because that's not the job she was necessarily hired to do. She was hired to make sure that she comes in with the most detailed, comprehensive, and, you know, I guess, precedent back to decision that she possibly can, particularly in this case, which is going to set some precedent. So, you know, everyone's just in a holding pattern right now, asking the same questions, guessing the same number of games. I mean, it's the same deal too. The only thing that I think's really changed is we know a little bit more about how things were presented to Sue Robinson. And I would say that what fundamentally improved for Deshaun Watson was that when the process started, the assumption was it was going to be, you know, the 24 women that were suing him in civil court. Obviously, that did not happen. It pared down to five, although one of the five didn't speak to the NFL. It was more based on, you know, media information that had gotten out to the media. So really about four women, and that's a pretty significant alteration when we thought, you know, hey, this is going to be 20-plus women maybe a couple of months ago. And by the way, of the 20 that Deshaun Watson settled with, you know, the few that were alleging the use of force and assault were among that 20. So they weren't even presented. Their cases weren't even presented in front of the NFL. So I would tend to think that Deshaun Watson walked out of there feeling a little bit better about potentially avoiding a full year suspension. We'll see ultimately if that's the case.
Yeah, because that seems to be, and like you said, Charles, I mean, it's a lot of guessing, but you just laid out there some concrete reasons why he could feel better. I mean, have you just in your mind gone from maybe, I think we talked earlier, you thought maybe a full season was definitely on the table. Do you feel that's less likely now? Do you guess that it's going to be somewhere, you know, half season-ish or something?
I would say that, you know, based on, again, what was presented, I think it is more favorable to him than it was when I thought this whole process was getting underway. And that's just by sheer numbers. And, you know, what the NFL ended up arguing was, at least part of this, was this idea of bringing, you know, disrepute onto the league by, you know, by cause of action, by your own actions. You brought disrepute upon the league. And that, you know, in some way or shape or form violated the personal conduct policy. Now, the union's argument was, wait a minute, if we're going to do this whole disrepute thing, here's all these owners. Let's line up the number of things that have happened with NFL owners in which they weren't even investigated. And it was clear that there was a level of disrepute brought upon the league. Now, when the union argues that, I don't think it's a, hey, we're arguing that Deshaun Watson did nothing wrong, or it's more of, when you're considering your punishment here, remember, you know, here's all the owners who allegedly brought disrepute. And now, do you want to set the precedent, Sue Robinson, that, okay, we're going to start suspending people a year for basically making the league look bad? If that's really what the league's fundamental argument is that Deshaun Watson did some things he shouldn't have done, he made the league look bad. Okay, well, then let's line up how many, you know, teams have signed NDAs or had settlements, you know, related to, you know, own team owners related to things that have come out in the last few years. How many situations were owners not investigated? You know, Robert Kraft was a very high profile situation with the solicitation of prostitution charges. You know, the league commented on people being held to a higher standard, and then he was never even investigated for this. And oh, by the way, the Houston Texans just settled with 30 women involved in the Deshaun Watson situation. And the basis of that settlement stems from what was planned to be an initial lawsuit saying, hey, the Texans should have known whatever he was doing. They should have known that behavior, and in some way, shape, or form, they aided it, or, you know, created an environment where it was never challenged. And then the Texans step in front of it, make sure, you know, they settle with everyone just to kind of get out in front of it. Thus far, no investigation into that. And yet Deshaun Watson, there has been obviously a vigorous investigation. So it's more sort of this uneven standard. And if Sue Robinson's going to set a precedent, it's the union and Deshaun Watson's legal counsel hammered home this idea of, you better think of the whole league here, because if this is what you're describing, this idea of disrepute, we can go pretty deep on multiple franchises and owners in that situation.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. Charles, great stuff as always. It's great to talk to you after the summer break, and looking forward to talking to you down the road.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Charles Robinson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jimmy G apparently is now able to ask for a trade in his agency. What does the market look like for Jimmy Garoppolo? We'll continue that discussion coming up next. Step up to the tee and take a swing at betting the PGA Tour on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can bet the tour with a no-sweat first bet, and if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back in free bets. I've been telling you about Scottie Scheffler all year. He's been very consistent. I like him to finish in the top 20 pretty much every week. That's how it's gone so far, but you take it any way you want to take it. Rory McIlroy playing really well right now as well. Just make sure you do it on America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got great promotions every day. The app is safe and secure, and you get paid quickly as well. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up using promo code ROB to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. FanDuel Sportsbook, official betting operator of the PGA Tour. Once again, that promo code is Rob. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Mr. Nick Pizer here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Jimmy Garoppolo. Thanks to Charles Robinson for joining us in the last segment. We were not joined by Jimmy Garoppolo, but we did talk about Jimmy Garoppolo.
Thanks to Jimmy G for, giving us something to talk about.
Appreciate you carving out some time for us, Jimmy G. So it looks like he has been given permission, according to multiple reports yesterday, from the 49ers and his agency to begin seeking a trade. But Charles brings up an interesting point. I was looking around yesterday, just going through the teams and their quarterback situations. And I'm having a really difficult time coming up for a quarterback market right now for Jimmy G that makes a ton of sense. Like San Francisco, I mean, I guess you could trade him to Seattle. And we keep talking about Seattle, like being players for these quarterbacks. And then we look around and they've still got Geno Smith and Drew Lock in there. So it kind of tells me that maybe that's just what they're going with at the moment. But I look around the rest of the league right now, Rex Road, and I just don't really know what the greatest fit is for Jimmy G at the moment. Like, I think he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. I mean, you could say what you want to about Jimmy G, but he has gone to a Super Bowl and an NFC title game. He's made some horrific throws along the way, but he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. And right now, I just don't really see a spot for him.
Yeah, it's not obvious. I guess Pete Carroll's just going to give dog water an opportunity here. Cause that's what I think they're going to be this year.
I think so too.
But it's just, and obviously it would be strange to see an in-division trade. We had some of our writers, The Athletic, threw out a few others, which, you know, I can kind of see some of these. So the Giants, you know, they declined Daniel Jones' fifth-year option. And so this is his potentially last year as their starter. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if Jimmy G would beat him out. Again, Jimmy G is he's a middling starter, but you can do a lot worse than that, right?
True.
As long as the shoulder's okay, he's definitely a starting quarterback in the NFL. So it's just a matter of, like, if you're the Giants, you may be down on Daniel Jones, or at best, you're like, okay, prove it this year, right? But are you signing up for long term with Jimmy G? The bottom line is, he just like Baker, he's gonna end up taking a pretty big pay cut here. What about, and I know you're gonna be sensitive about this, I don't want you to get upset, but what about the Texans? I mean, I know that your guy there got a lot better. He got a lot better last year.
He looked pretty good at the end of the year, man.
He did. But
he really played, I think, above where they thought he was going to be.
There you go. Yes, I think he extended himself beyond expectations. But that's, I mean, if they really like him, you get him at a discount as you build toward, you know, in the NFL, it's like you never should think you're more than a couple years away from at least getting to being able to sniff the playoffs. Yeah. That's a possibility. And Charles, you know, Charles brought up the Browns, which sounds like maybe they look at it if it's the full season thing. If it's like, okay, this, you're throwing away this season on a good roster if you don't have a better quarterback than Jacoby Brissett.
What about Marcus in Atlanta? I mean, he's been the guy so far throughout minicamp. You know, they did draft Desmond Ridder, so I assume that Desmond Ridder is in their plans at some point down the line here. But, you know, would Jimmy G make sense in Atlanta, or with Marcus already there, not necessarily, you know, cheap for a backup quarterback either, would that be the way that they go and just ride it out with Marcus and then Desmond Ridder?
Yeah, and that's another thing. I mean, I wouldn't have thought of them. I mean, you have gone through all this time now of getting Mariota prepared to, you know, to start the season as your starter, which I think he will. I mean, and we'll see. Ridder could, whenever Ridder shows he's ready, I'm sure they'll make the switch, but I don't see why you would, although I would say Jimmy G is an upgrade over Marcus. I think that they're pretty locked and they're not going to be, look, they know they're not going to be very good this year. To me, it's a team that either a team that believes that he could be the long-term answer, because again, the Falcons have drafted their quarterback of the future. The Giants don't have one, you know? And so it's either that or it's the short-term. I mean, the Browns, just a weird situation, right?
Yeah.
The Giants could be interesting. And I guess Seattle too. If either of them thinks, okay, for the next 4 or 5 years, he's a good enough quarterback that we could be, you know, we could be a pretty good team around him. I don't know. I'm it's intriguing to think about how other GMs look at Jimmy G. I mean, I think he's pretty good. I mean, shoot, he played pretty well in the playoffs last year. And then of course he made some, you know, missed some throws where he's just like, oh, you can't do it, man.
Heidi from Dixon on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, if the contract can be adjusted, the Titans could use a backup rental to keep that ring chase alive. This is coming from Heidi on the text line.
Bring there it in. You go. Yeah, four quarterback room. That's a heck of a quarterback room right there.
Well, I think you probably would unseat Logan Woodside at that point.
I suppose so. I'd like to know how many Titans fans would prefer Jimmy G to Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill beat him head-to-head last year. He threw the ball to A.J. Brown every single play of the game on the second half, but it is a team sport. Will from Nashville, I wanted to bring this up, so I'm glad Will did on the text line. Says, interesting comments on the Jags from Charles. What are the chances they take a massive leap and by midseason are still in the AFC South hunt? I'd be surprised about that.
Yeah, midseason. I mean, I guess if you're a couple games back midseason, are you still in the hunt? Sure. So I don't think that's crazy. Now they are interesting. I still believe Trevor Lawrence could be a hell of a quarterback in the NFL. I shouldn't have to even, you know, explain that after 1 year with a terrible team and the situation they had. But you know, people are out on quarterbacks very fast in this league. And like you said, even if they signed some bad deals, they did like improve their talent, right? Yeah. So I think Doug Peterson's a good coach. We've talked quite a bit about that fantastic culture. This is I think Charles also touched on an interesting thing here. Everybody wants to, not everybody, but a lot of people want to say it's all Urban, total disaster, but I'm not sure that's true. You know, I think that organization has kind of demonstrated that it's got some dysfunction, maybe top down there. So,
well, Trent Baalke, he's fixed all that.
Yeah, he and Doug are going golfing a lot. Everything's fine. But I agree that they're interesting and they could be, they've got some talent on both sides of the ball. So if Peterson reaches Trevor Lawrence and he makes a big jump as a player, then they're at least a team that could, you know, score some upsets and make trouble for people.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. By the way, Steve on the text line says, Seattle, Giants, or Tennessee. Guys, he's not coming to the Titans.
Yeah, that's not happening. Nate says Jared would take Jimmy G over Tannehill because he took golf over Tannehill. I saw that. So you and Jared had a big golf Tannehill.
We did.
Yeah.
Would you like to quickly offer your thoughts? Do you think Jared Goff is better than Ryan Tannehill?
No. I don't think it's like I don't think it's like an outrageous discussion to have, but no. I would take Tannehill over Goff.
Well, originally Jared said before he walked it back, it was not controversial that Jared Goff was better than Ryan Tannehill.
Well, yeah, that's come on. I mean, come on. If you polled on that particular question, if you polled GMs in the league, it'd be a pretty convincing win for Tannehill.
I think so.
But Goff, I mean, hey, Goff has been to the Super Bowl.
He has. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Matthew Tkachuk discussion. Should the Predators try to make a move for the 24-year-old forward who put up more than 100 points last year? And if so, what are you comfortable giving up if you're the Nashville Predators? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Here's a shot by Brendan Dillon, blocked it. Now we've got a break. Matthew Tkachuk busting in. Deeks shoots and is stopped and now scores. Matthew Tkachuk picks up his own rebound and he buries it. His team co-leading 42nd goal of the season makes it 1-0 Flames.
Oh, yes, it looks like Matthew Tkachuk is available from the Calgary Flames. A report coming out yesterday from The Athletic by Jeremy Rutherford, who we'll have coming up on the show at 9 o'clock, and Haley Salvian as well. Putting it out there that Matthew Tkachuk has told the Flames he's not re-signing long-term with them and that a trade is likely. coming up here maybe soon between the Flames and somebody else. Now, in addition to that, in this piece at The Athletic, it says, quote, one source close to the situation said that Tkachuk's list has had St. Louis, Vegas, Florida, Nashville, and Dallas on it for months, though that may not be the official list that he gave Calgary. So this was the report on theathletic.com. Apparently, Nashville has been on whatever list Tkachuk has compiled for months, and that not may not be the official list that he gave Calgary. Eric Francis yesterday reported that the original list of it just being only those teams and those teams alone in consideration may not be the case. So there's going to be a ton of interest on Matthew Tkachuk. Teams that, you know, Dom Lecision put it out there yesterday when he put his player card. He's a fabulous player. And every team in the league, within reason, that has a chance to pull something like this off, you need to be taking a look at Matthew Tkachuk. The question is, if you're the Predators, should you be interested? And if so, what are you comfortable giving up? So, Joe, what's your read on this Matthew Tkachuk situation? Again, we'll have Jeremy Rutherford come up at 9 o'clock from The Athletic.
Well, I think the Preds need to be all in. I think the Preds need to David Poile needs to view this as an opportunity to improve his team in a way that's it's just difficult to find these opportunities. And I think that he has enough to offer, but enough that he can retain, that adding Matthew Tkachuk could make this a contender is what we always talk about. What does it take for the Preds to become a contender? Look, do I think the Preds with Tkachuk, let's say they keep their other primary top forwards here, and they're mostly giving up younger guys, but maybe like a Tomasino or, as you know, prospects picks, and then potentially Askarov. Okay, that's a lot. Is the return enough? Are they a contender with him in this lineup? So my thing is, like, if you can make a case to be the number two team in your conference, I think that counts as a contender. I still don't. Well, yeah. I still have a question about whether. I mean, I still don't know that the Preds could match up with the top like handful of teams in the league. So I guess from that perspective, you could say, well, no, you're not there yet. But I think it gets you close enough that, and you got the firepower with the goalie, with the improved defense core, that you could go into a postseason with that roster and feel like you got a chance to do damage. And that's, I mean, like, it's hard to come up with the best roster in the NHL. You know, there's no path to that for the right. Preds. But Tkachuk, boy, he would change things pretty dramatically.
Well, he's a special player. I mean, he put up 104 points last year, 42 goals, 62 assists. And it didn't come out of nowhere. He's been productive since he came in the league. I mean, you go back to 18-19, which up until this past season was the last time they played 82 games. He had 77 points and 34 goals. And I think he was 20 at that time. So, like, he's been a productive player really from the moment he set foot in the league here with the Flames. I think he changes what this team is and can be moving forward. I mean, that's the thing to keep in mind. It's not like you'd be trading for a 32-year-old. He's 24. Theoretically, he's going to continue to get better. Like, he's just now started to really kind of inch his way toward the prime of his career. So I think it's something the Predators should absolutely be all in and that they should be considering very heavily. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Nate, who wants to weigh in. Nate, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
What's up, guys? The Preds should be in on Matthew Tkachuk. I just don't know that I would want to sell the future on Matthew Tkachuk. Basically, going back to what Corey Curtis had put out on Twitter yesterday evening, saying, would you risk the future of the Preds or the farm team for Matthew Tkachuk? And that's a pretty big ask, just because you don't know what those players are going to turn into. Yes, Kachuk is a great player, but I don't know that, and we wouldn't know until, you know, he would obviously come. I don't know that he would be worth the big risk. And basically what Jared put out there yesterday was stupid. Basically, everybody's on the table except Josi and Forsberg.
Why is that stupid?
Selling off Saros? You're putting yourself back even if you get Kachuk if you sell Saros.
Okay, well, let's add Saros into the discussion too. So outside of Saros, who would not be on the table for the Predators outside of those three?
I mean, you're not going to – I don't think you're going to get much back with Kachuk. So, I mean, you obviously need centers. And, I mean, Duchesne's – when did we say Duchesne's contract kicks? Or not contract.
He's got no 4 years left. I think it's next year. Yeah.
It's next year?
Yeah.
That'd be probably pretty hard to sell.
Right, but that doesn't mean that he's not on the table. Like, you're saying that you wouldn't even consider doing it.
I mean, do you get better if you sell him for Kachuk?
Yes. Matthew Kachuk is 24 years old and is a 100-point player.
I just don't know how much – I just don't know how much I would give up. My point was I don't think I would just sell the farm.
Look, thanks for the call, Nate. We appreciate it. I understand, like, you don't want to sell off your entire prospect pool. Like, I get that. But this is, again, what I was talking about.
There's a limitation
to it. Like, you're not just going to give Calgary whatever they want. I mean, I totally understand that. But this is, again, what I was talking about earlier. Like there's way too much operating on hope that goes on when we start talking about prospects. You hope that Yaroslav Askarov turns into a great player. I think there's a good chance he probably will. You hope that Luke Evangelista turns into a really good player. There's a chance that he will. There's also a chance that he won't, and we know what Matthew Kachuk is. Like, we know that Roman Josi's not on the table, and even if he didn't have a no-trade clause, he shouldn't be on the table. We know Philip Forsberg's not on the table. He's got a no-trade clause too. Like, I wouldn't put Saros on the table because, you know, I think he's a great value for you right now with this contract, and obviously you need a high-level goalie. So outside of those three – like, there's not a person on this team or in this organization that I wouldn't consider. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to do it all, but nobody else is even close to untouchable in my opinion.
Yeah, again, like we talked about this earlier. So take everything the Preds have. They have some good assets. They have some players who could develop into really good NHL players down the line. But if the Flames are primarily interested in futures, and again, the Preds have got to move some cap out here. You got to keep that in mind one way or the other. They have to make this work. But I guess the question I would ask is, if you could have Matthew Kachuk on this roster with the cast of regulars returning and you retain basically that group and you have to give up an Evangelista, a Skarov, a pick, another pick, whatever combination of that. Would you not do that? Because if you continue on the path they're on and there's no significant add, and maybe there's a Kessel or something who, you know, right, comes in and gives you a little bit of a bump, you know, in your top six, and you retain those prospects and you continue to have two, you know, one proven really good goaltender, a Vezina finalist, and then a guy who, you know, could be great down the road. Where are you heading? What's the path? What's the path leading to? So in 2 years, 3 years, what are you? I mean, I think you're older. Josi's older, and Duchesne's older, and Johansson's older.
Well, in 3 years, Johansson's contract is up, and then Matt Duchesne's contract is up the year after that. So that's the other part of this. Like, by the time some of these prospects are ready, Duchesne's gone and Johansson's gone, and you're starting all over trying to find some guys like that to fill up your top six. Like,
and you have money.
You have money. Gone. Yeah.
But at what point does that group become great? I mean, Evangelista in a couple years, could help you, but that's a couple years, right?
Right.
Askarov, again, like when it comes down to it, I always thought this when they drafted Askarov, like at some point, they're going to have to make a choice between those two guys.
Between he and Saros, yes.
It's just, I mean, you know, because you can get so much for one of them. So I just feel like this is a rare opportunity, a rare moment. And I disagree with like the whole, like selling the farm is something I wouldn't think of, because what does it really bring you in the next few years?
Well, and the other part of this is what we keep talking about, and it's Tkachuk's age. He's 24. So you talk about, you know, risking the future. Well, at that point, Matthew Tkachuk is your future. Like, are you telling me Matthew Tkachuk can't be an elite player in this league from the age 25 to age 32? That's exactly when players are elite in this league, is age 25 to 32. Like, that is your future at that point. Look, I've made no secret about it. I really like Luke Evangelista. And after watching him and talking to him last week, I like him even more. Like, I think they might have something in Luke Evangelista. What is the best case scenario for Luke Evangelista in the league? It's probably not what Matthew Tkachuk is right now. So why would you not consider that if you're the Predators? Makes no sense to me.
Obviously, it's not one for one. I mean, you're talking about a bunch of stuff going there.
But exactly. We're not talking a one-for-one trade, but a part of the package.
Yeah, right. I mean, if Luke Evangelista becomes like a 60-point forward, that's great. Like, if you told me right now, whatever team has his rights, Preds or whoever, okay, he's going to be a 60-point player for you for several years. You're signing, like, where do I sign?
Right? Exactly.
Which is, I mean, it's worthwhile. That'd be great. And we're talking about a 104-point player in Matt, who's 24.
Yeah, it's really like it's not even within the same league that we're talking about. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue this discussion coming up next. Mark, hang with us. We'll get to you on the phone line coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are your racing station, 1025, 1063, The Game. It's Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 o'clock for the Pocono 400. Also join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for racing weekend. NASCAR on 1025, 1063, The Game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. We are talking Preds and Matthew Tkachuk. We'll have Jeremy Rutherford coming up at 9 o'clock who kind of helped break this Matthew Tkachuk news yesterday. Looking forward to talking with him at 9 o'clock. Right now, let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mark, who wants to weigh in. Mark, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
Just because some of the callers and texts kill me. How many 80 to 100-point perennial guys do we have on the roster?
The answer is usually zero.
Exactly. And what was the talk about Tolvanen 3 or 4 years ago? He's the next great shooter, the next great star. I mean, he's still got some ways to go. You don't know what he's going to do. Why would you not, other than the three that you guys have mentioned, why would you not send them a list and say, who do you want? I mean, you got to scar off these guys. You don't know what they're going to do. They could be the next Tolvanen. I mean, Tomasino even. We think he's going to be good, but you don't know. I mean, my only question is, it kind of seems to me Duchesne and Granlund would have the money, would have some interest. What do you do down the middle?
As far as the call, Mark, we appreciate it. That's a great question. So, because Joe, you will have to, like, if Tkachuk comes in, you're going to have to move some money out. And we've talked about Sissons. Well, he's a center. We've talked about Granlund. Well, he's played center the last 2 years for this team. So if you're moving Tkachuk out, or if you're moving Tkachuk in and one of those two guys is coming out, or let's say, even though I think this is extremely unlikely, let's say somehow Johansson's contract goes back to Calgary. Well, who's playing center at that point? That's a big-time question.
Well, Duchesne's going to be going back down the middle.
Duchesne would have to go back down the middle, for sure. But the other part, and you brought this up too, like if you're bringing Tkachuk in, don't you want him to play with Ryan Johansson? And don't you want him to play with Matt Duchesne and Philip Forsberg? And like, you can't get everything you want. Like, somebody's going to have to move out because you got to make some room for the money. But that does bring up an interesting predicament there. Let's go back to the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Brady, who wants to weigh in. Brady, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, this is a very interesting situation. We didn't see this a couple weeks ago, but I'm wondering, you know, when Poyle signed Lakanen, you know, is there an opportunity for us to trade? You guys had mentioned Askarov, maybe moving out Janot, but those aren't going to free up that cap space. So as the previous caller just said, you're going to have to move out one of the big ticket guys. And I honestly think if I'm Calgary, I'm asking for Granlund, and then that creates we're replacing Tkachuk, a tremendous player, but we're losing Granlund, who's a key cog to this team on that top six. So I'm just trying to figure out in my head how do we move out any cap space at all? It's not possible to move out that dead cap space of Turris, is it?
It is not.
No.
You can't trade away dead cap space. So it's just, this is going to be tough. But if you got David Poyle, a GM who hasn't won the cup in his 30 plus years of being a general manager, it might be his last kick at the can here. So I think he's got to get super creative and figure out a way to make this happen, because this does put Nashville at least in the top three in the conference if you're not moving out a key piece. But trying to figure out how to free up that cap space, I think, to me is the big puzzler here. And I'll hang up and let you guys rap about that for a bit.
Thanks for the call, Brady. We appreciate it. I mean, that is the challenging part. And, you know, it's also not just moving out the cap space part of it, but you don't want to decimate your team either, right? Like you want to move money, but if you're moving out three NHL roster guys, that's great that you're getting Tkachuk back in there, but what does that do to your bottom six? Like, what does that do to the rest of the depth that you have? Now, if you're giving me a choice, I'd still rather take my chances with Matthew Tkachuk on the team, and you can figure that part of it out as you go along. But I mean, look, my guess is that there would at least be some interest there from Calgary on one of those three on that herd line of Janot or Trenin, probably particularly the two younger guys in Trenin or Janot. Like, if you move one of those two out as a part of a package, you know, who comes in and fills in there? Like, there's a whole lot of things you'd have to figure out if you're the Predators. But as Brady points out, like, the cap part of it may be the biggest obstacle.
Yeah, you're going to have to get creative. Like you said, if Sissons is a guy, that's almost $3 million. And yeah. So that would – I mean, you have space now. It's not like you're devoid of space. So that would help a lot. You know, with Janot right now, what are you talking, $800K? You know, you're talking about – and, of course, he's going to be an RFA, you know, coming up. And then Trenin right now is that. So – there's not a lot of, you know, I mean, I agree. I think that I could see those guys being attractive to Calgary. Granlund would solve it from a Caps perspective. You're talking about Granlund for $5 million the next three seasons. That's also, like you said, that's a fundamental change. I mean, look, I personally, as solid an all-around player as Granlund has been, and as much as John Hines clearly values him, I would go ahead and do that. You know, tell me the rest of the package, but sure. But that could be like the perfect solution. Now, if they like Sissons, who has been just a tremendous role player for this franchise for so long, that would also, I mean, I think one of those two guys, you probably need to be involved in some way to give you that cap relief, unless like you said, like, you know, like the Johansson scenario or something. But I'd be really surprised if Calgary was interested there.
I would be surprised on that too. Wes on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, could you move Matthias Ekholm? I mean, look, like I said, I'm open to anything when we start talking about Matthew Tkachuk. For the most part, I doubt that they would move Ekholm. And I doubt that they would want him as a part of the package, but I mean, that would be a significant cap that you'd save there. What's he just at right around $6 million? I mean, that would be an interesting spot for them there. I doubt it though. Like, I doubt that that's the route they'd go.
It's just, that's like from their perspective, why are they taking that on? You know, when he's not old, but he's in the last few really good years of his career are coming up right now, right?
Right.
And so if you're them, why are you paying $6.25 million for that when you know you've got a couple of years where you're going to have to try to round it back up and come and rebuild?
Well, I guess part of it could be you could trade him later. Like, that's the same thing with Granlund. Like, I don't think that they'd have much use for Granlund if they're going to go full rebuild route, but you could then trade Granlund at some point too. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
I still think it's probably an unlikely that they would ask for that. Like, I think Calgary's probably going to be more focused on high level prospects would be my guess.
Right. No, that's there. Yeah. The Preds have figured out a way to help, as the caller pointed out, you know, with the guy, Fabro's another potentially a guy they could have interested. Young guy, still could have a lot of good hockey ahead of him. And that's a $2.4 million subtraction.
And I've already said, like, I don't see a scenario where Fabro and Carrier are both on the team in 23-24. So maybe something to think about.
You have my vote for sure. I don't want Fabro on this team anymore. That was my called shot weeks ago, guys.
So we'll see what happens on that front. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jeremy Rutherford from The Athletic, who helped kind of break this story and put it out there yesterday with Matthew Tkachuk informing the Calgary Flames that he will not be re-signing with them. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.